ways of engaging the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, it said, until I come, the fathers, there is something they know. You know, like every one of us here, young people, our pride is to snap with a big man of God and put it out and say, look at me when I slap with Daddy Gio. That's what we look for. We go out and the story we want to tell is that I was in Daddy Gio's house for 2 weeks. What did you catch when you went there? You want to tell everybody, I took a picture. I was with him. What did you catch? Now, there's nothing wrong in celebrating your encounters with them. If I snap with him, I will upload it. So don't get me wrong. But the question is, he carries much more than a picture to offer. Paul said, don't go out telling people, I am Timothy, Paul's protege. Don't go out telling people, I am Timothy, I know Paul, I have access to Paul. He said, there is a more important business to do. He said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He said, give thyself wholly to these things. He said, thy profiting will be made manifest to all. The reason we have been in church for 5 years, for 10 years, but we are not enlarged enough for our generation to recognize it, because we have not given attendance to the world. If you want to be enlarged, you must do business with the world. You must engage the world. And in engaging the world, Paul showed us three things. Number one, he said, read it. Read it. Read it. When you read the word, you become acquainted to the word. There are many persons seated here this morning, and I don't mean to be derogatory. Tell them, open Malachi, they will go to New Testament. And they said they want to take over their world. They sit on Twitter, sit on Instagram, sit on Facebook, not because they are hearing the word of God. They are just there watching pictures, liking and clicking. You tell them, where is Nehemiah? They are looking at the end of the Old Testament. You say, okay, no problem. Check the book of Esther. They are checking New Testament. And they said, I've heard something. Any question you ask them from the Bible, they can't give you a precise answer. They will tell you, well, somebody said, they will never tell you John 3:16, Matthew 4:12, Luke 10:35. They will never quote scripture for you because they are not aware of it. And you know why? They are not acquainted. They're not giving themselves to reading. A man who wants to do business with the world, when you wake up in the morning, before you talk to anybody on earth, you check the Bible. I watched a clip a few years ago when Daddy Gio was sharing that they went to the United States of America for a conference. He said many pastors came from Nigeria and marked the word many. Today, how many are there? When you say Christianity in Nigeria today, the two names he called are the first two names you will call. Meanwhile, there were many in their ranks that put, how can you put money together, bought flight ticket, traveled all the way to the US, and in the morning they were making friends, snapping pictures. And he said, because there was nowhere to do his quiet time, he went to the toilet. And when he went to the toilet, he read. When he was done reading and praying, as he stepped out, lo and behold, he collided with Daddy Kumuyi. He too went to do the same. Out of the many pastors that left Nigeria, only two were studying. No wonder today they are the two leading patriarchs. Because if you do business with the world, it will show. It cannot deny itself. The moment you catch the word, something comes out of your spirit. They went to study. There was nowhere to study. They went to the toilet. Today, we have places to study, but we will never sit on the word. Pause. Give attendance to reading. That's the first way to engage the world. The second way to engage the world is to study the world. And he showed us two ways of studying the world. He said, number one, through exhortation. And he said, number two, through doctrine. What is exhortation? You listen to a man who has understanding in a dimension of the world, so you will catch his own sonesis. How does he interpret love? How does he interpret power? How does he interpret fasting? When you listen, then you go from exhortation. You go and carry the Bible for yourself. You carry your concordance. You click the word love. Every scripture that captures love, you study all of it. So that you too will have your own understanding of what love is. You go to the scripture, you type the word power. Every word that comes up, you click it, you study all those verses. So that when you are talking power, you know what you are saying. It's not because somebody said it. It's because you too have paid the price to search. That's why he was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, study to show thyself approved. A watchman unto God that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So when I say power, I will not neglect the explanation that was given in Genesis and contradict it with the one that was given in Malachi or in Luke. I would have compared all of them together so I have an understanding of what power is. So in order to engage the word, you begin with reading and then you go into study. Reading will make you become aware of the word. Study will make you understand the word, but you don't stop there. You now go to the third level. The third level is to meditate. He said to Timothy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. What is meditation? As you are reading or as you are studying, you may notice that one verse will stand out. You write that verse down. Sometimes as you are reading and as you are studying, three verses will stand out. You will keep those verses aside. When you are done reading, you will now carry those verses and begin to chew it. Meditation is not reading. Meditation is not studying. Meditation is talking the word to yourself. So you carry the verses that stood out when you were reading and you start talking it. Because the word meditation is the word hagar. It means to mutter, to mutter. So you were reading John chapter 1. And as you were reading, 2-3 verses from the beginning stood up. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And you go back again. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. You go back again. When you're talking to yourself, at the 10th time, something will begin to happen to you. You will now notice that the vibration of your spirit will begin to align with the energy of that word. After a while, the word that you pick from the Bible will be made flesh. It is when the word is made flesh that you have power through the word. Because the word that created the word had to become flesh to dwell among us. If the word is not made flesh to you, it cannot dwell with you. And if the word does not dwell with you, you cannot behold his glory. And if you don't behold his glory, you cannot manifest the grace that is in that word. So why reading gives you awareness, studying gives you understanding, meditation makes the word to become flesh. And when the word becomes flesh, then the word becomes power. When the word becomes flesh, the word becomes wisdom. When the word becomes flesh, the word becomes wonder. That is why Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he said this book of the law should not depart, not from your brain. When you read, it's in your brain. When you study, it's in your brain. He said this book of the law should not depart out of thy where? Thy mouth. He said thou shalt what? Mutter it, hagar it. Day and night, you shall mutter it, you shall hagar it, day and night. So meditation is not something you do when you go to the library. Meditation is not something you do when you are in church. When you wake up in the morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. That is hagar. As you are talking it, you are talking it. Every scripture you have studied, every scripture you have read will suddenly become flesh. And then something will happen to you. As you get to the level of meditation, you will now discover the word will begin to engage you. Because when you engage the word, Proverbs 1 verse 8, he said when you meditated upon it day and night, he now went to the third layer. He said that thou mightest observe to do according to what is written therein. So when the word begins to engage you, what the word demands of you is obedience. Many have not journeyed to the level of obedience. When you start reading the word, studying the word, meditating on the word, the world will become a law to you. The first thing the world does to you is to judge you. The world will check you. The world will refine you. In 2 Timothy 2, 16 and 17, it said every scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it said it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, and for correction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You have to read, study, and meditate. When you meditate, the word will start talking to you. That's when the word will tell you, this is your exaggeration. You have to stop it. This is your lying. You have to stop it. Because perhaps you are fornicating, no pastor is aware. And you come to church, you have a good voice. You stand up there and you sing with your golden voice. Well, that is a gift. It will not take you far. Trust me, everybody making impact in this world, there are three forces that rule them. Their gift, the word of God, and the presence of God. Many people only have gift. So they come and sing and preach intelligently, but they are fornicators. They are liars. They will never see the power of God. They will never see the honor of God. They will never see the glory of God. When the word of God begins to engage you, there is one purpose he wants. Is to stop everything in you that is not conformed with the image of Christ. That's why I say we all with open faces, beholding us in the glass. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are changed from glory to glory. The word will change you. The word will transform you before the word becomes powerful through you. There are many people who jump about quoting scripture. When you quote scriptures, demon will ask you, by what authority have you come? Because the last time they checked, you followed their servants in fornicating. The last time they checked, you followed their servant in manipulation. The last time they checked, you followed their servant in cutting corners. And then you come to the public because we are wearing suit and tie. You start giving them commandment. They will ask you, are you not part of our servants that are fornicators? Are you not part of our servants that are liars? Who told you can come here and quote scripture? And so for you to be powerful in the world and for the world to be powerful in you, the world will first of all become a law to you. That's why the Bible said, the standard of the law standeth sure. 2 Timothy 2:19. It said, therefore, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It said, they that nameth the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. It said, in a great house, there are many vessels, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. He said, if a man purges himself, he said, that is when that man will become a vessel of honor. That is when that man will be qualified to be used of the master. He said, come out of among them, touch not the unclean things. He said, they that name the name of the Lord, they must be holy. This is the word engaging you. You would have read it. You would have studied it. One day you wake up and the word will tell you, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. They that bear the vessels of God must be holy. For you, that has become a commandment. If you will be great in God, you must obey that commandment. In fact, they can pour a drum of oil on you. They can lay hands on you 1,000 times. You will not amount to anything. They can prophesy over you from January to December. You will not amount to anything because the word will make sure you cannot go beyond your level of obedience. I'm telling you, this is what the apostles knew. He said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You must do business with the word until the word becomes a law to you. And I will shock you. Some of the things the word will tell you will not be written in the Bible. He said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. He said, holy men of God spake as they were carried by the Spirit of God. So there are words that will come to you from the throne. Many years ago, I was a football fan. Ardent follower of Arsenal. I could analyze the records from the beginning of the club up to the year 2002 as a football fan. One day, I was going to watch football and God told me, your part here is over. Watching football is not a sin, but I was engaging the world. Now the world wants to engage me. The kind of ministry I've given you, you can't combine it with football. That is enlargement. The reason out of the many million young ministers, I was the one invited is because I obeyed that word. You are a man. There's a level you can never get to until you obey the word. I disobeyed for 6 months. When it's Saturday, my whole body begins to itch. I will stand up and say, I want to buy something, and stroll and pass where they are watching football. And I'll say, okay, let me just check the score. I will enter to check the score line. And then, what is this striker doing? I will now sit down. And sit down till match is over. And every time match is over, my conscience will begin to fight me. You have disobeyed again. You have disobeyed again. You have disobeyed. Until I started begging God to help me. And when God started helping me, even when I go into the match, as I sit down, I doze off. I now knew that my path was over. It was in that obedience that a new road was created. That was when I began to sense the pathway of the apostolic ministry. That was when I began to read the scrolls of Zion. That is when I began to see the things that were written concerning me before the foundations of the world. He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I know you. I knew you. You didn't come after you were born. You existed before you were born. When you were an intangible seed of eternity, that was when I started doing business with you. But I needed you to recognize me in time for me to walk with you. He said, I ordained you to be a prophet. The word ordination means an established pathway. And for you to walk in that path, only obedience can take you there. And so anybody who wants to be enlarged, anybody who wants to be mighty in God, must engage the word, and he must allow the word engage him. When you engage the word and the word engages you, you will move from perception to understanding to word made flesh, and you will come into obedience. By the time you come here, you are ready to take over your world.